beautiful to look forward to Thanksgiving. And I was thinking, as was already mentioned this morning, did we as followers of Christ have sickness this past year, losses, hardship? And you go, wait a minute, that was true of everyone in this world, right? Everyone has had hardships this past year. What's the difference? Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Meaning, we're not always thankful for the trial, but we're thankful that God is at work through the trial. We have God's perspective on the trials and challenges of life. We see God's hand working through them. I was thanking the Lord for this cold this past week. I couldn't talk. That's nice. No one had to listen. But I was thankful that you just stop for a moment. You pause. You have quiet time, and it's a good thing to even. And then there was that snow. Wasn't that great? You just had to stop for a minute. Sometimes we get running and rushing, and we need God's pause button. And sometimes there's times of even sickness that are pause buttons in our lives to give thanks. Wasn't that a great psalm read this morning? That we come before his gates with thanksgiving. We have a perspective that God has given to us. Well, this passage we're studying is a study about giving. It's a study about giving thanks to God. And it's a very neat passage. And I want to focus on a word this morning, and that's promise. In verse 5, it has this word promise. They made a promise. The church at Corinth made a promise to help the church in Jerusalem. It was a promise. I was looking up that word promise, and it is used often of God making promises to us. God's promises based on his faithfulness to us. God is a promise-keeping God. But the word here for promise is, there's this word announce, which we get the word message or angel from, angelos. Then we have this, they had this little preposition, ep angelos, which was promise, but this is pra ep angelos, meaning they announced in advance what they were going to do. And have you ever announced in advance what you're going to do? You say, I will meet you for dinner at 5 o'clock. On the way home, the roads are slippery. You don't get home at 5 o'clock. And all of a sudden you realize, you go, wait a minute, wait. Based on God's enablement, I will meet you at 5 o'clock. So when they made a promise, some who study this passage call it a faith promise. Have you heard that term before, faith promise? There's some churches that actually have a process of what they call faith promise. Making a promise, trusting God's enablement to fulfill what you said you're going to do. James says, when you say, I'm going to do this or that, you say, oh, that's a little proudful, isn't it? You should say, if the Lord wills, I'll do this or that. We modify our promises based on our trust in God's enablement. So let's focus this morning on promises. Faith promises. Now, their promise was a promise to give a gift. And that gift was because the Church of Jesus Christ has a concern and care for those who are hurting. That's through the scriptures. God has a heart for those in need, the widows, the orphans, the alien. God had a heart for the hurting, and he encourages God's people to give. If you think about how God wants us to use our resources, he does tell us we're to provide for our families. If you don't, you're worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. But you also to give in a way that helps those who are hurting. We're to give for those who are engaged in mission. We're to give to those who minister the word of God. There's different things that God gives us, instructs us in giving. But he says in giving, we're giving based on trusting him. that he will enable us to fulfill that promise. So we have the Corinthian church making a promise, and we have Paul writing this letter to remind them to fulfill what they said they're going to do. What do we call that? Accountability. Have you ever heard that used? Accountability. Accountable. You're accountable. So Paul's providing accountability for the promise that they've made. So the promise they made, he said, he gave them guidelines in the nature of this promise. When they make a promise, we've studied so far that you're to give yourself first to the Lord. When we make a promise to give, we say, Lord, first to you. That's who I'm accountable to, that I'm giving to you. To give proportional. He said in chapter 8, verse 14, your abundance at the present time should supply their need. So he says, give out of your abundance. Give willingly. He says in chapter 9, verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. I always remember some people translate cheerful hilarious. Have you had any, did anybody start laughing hilariously during the offering this morning? No, it's a hilarious giver. What is he saying? Give joyfully. Give cheerfully. When we give, we actually should be so grateful that God has given us the capacity to give. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That God has given us the capacity to give. It's giving cheerfully. He says, give willingly, give generously, systematically. He said, on the first day of each week, each of you should put aside something. And then he says, give corporately. He said, give as a church family. So when they made a promise, he gave them guidelines on the nature of the promise they made to give. However, have you noticed that people don't always keep their promises? In fact, have you noticed that we're in a culture that people don't keep their promises? You can almost kind of check it off. If a salesman saying, you've heard this one, I'll give you my car when you come in for a repair. You can just take my car. First repair. You know somebody's making a promise that they don't intend to keep, right? You just can click it off. When somebody says, I'll see you at 5, you and I know they're probably not going to be there at 5. They made a statement, but they weren't going to fulfill what they said they were going to do. We're a culture of feelings. If you don't feel like it, you don't do it. It's not a culture of commitment. Do you see that in our culture? It's a culture of feelings, not of commitment. And so when they made this promise, they were enthusiastic. We're going to do it. But there was a concern, would they keep that? How about when people shake their hand and make a financial commitment? How about when people say, I will abstain from? How about when people make a wedding vow? How about when people say, Lord, I make a commitment to you? Do we find follow through on commitment? Now, I'm not saying everyone's breaking promises, but I don't sense that promises carry the same weight of commitment today as we should give to them. My father-in-law was one of my mentors, and he had a beautiful wedding ceremony that he had done, so beautiful that somebody calligraphied his wedding ceremony. But he says something very striking. If you go through a wedding, you go to this section where people make a pledge to one another. But he precedes that with a vow to God. Now think about that. He calls the section a vow to God. So I've always followed his pattern. He said, you start with a vow to God. Why does he have people make a vow to God? Because he's saying your commitment to one another is based on a commitment to God. And that's a different perspective, isn't it? Sorry, I'm holding the water. You're probably thinking, when is he going to drink this water? When he gets thirsty and when his throat gets dry. then he's going to drink it. So he would quote from Numbers chapter 30. And I'll just read what was written in that wedding ceremony. He says, "This is what the Lord commanded. If a man vows a vow unto the Lord, or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds from his mouth." That's pretty serious, isn't it? And he follows it. "If a woman makes a vow to the Lord, then all her vows shall stand." So the biblical basis for keeping a promise is our promise to God. We stand before God when we make our promises. Whew! Do you feel it? I can feel it while I say it, that makes the commitment much more serious. It makes it, puts it in perspective. However, I want to, my fourth point is God is the one who enables us to keep our promises. Now, I always put a context, vows, commitments, some of them are reciprocal, and they require two to participate in that reciprocal commitment. But we need God's enablement. We need God's strength to fulfill our vows. It is His promise, His presence, His provision, and His power. Our promises rest on the promise we have made to God and the promise He has made to us. So when the church at Corinth said, "We will do this, we're going to give a gift," the condition of that promise was God's enablement to fulfill the promise. Now, I'm not talking about fatalism, say, "Well, I didn't make it to work today, God wills." I'm saying that as far as it lies within you, you have done what God has instructed, ordained you to do, but to accomplish that, you need God's enablement. We're contingent beings. We exist because God gives us our next breath. So we're depending on Him. That's why it's a faith promise. The Corinthian believers promised a gift to the needy in Jerusalem based on God's promise to provide for them. If you notice the last verse of what we read this morning, 2 Corinthians 9:6, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows generously will also reap generously." And not to steal from Pastor Bob's message next week, one must give as he has decided in his heart to give. And then he says in verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you." So God is the one who enables us by His provision, His care, both past, present, and future, to fulfill the promise. Speaking of Abraham, the Apostle Paul wrote, "No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what He promised." God's promises to us enable us to promise and fulfill promise. Or the writer of Hebrews chapter 10 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." You've claimed promises, haven't you? "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ." Paul read his prayer was based on Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He's the one who meets the needs. We claim the promises of God. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and after that all these things shall be added unto you." "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We should be committed to keep our promises. But here's something very important in this whole thought. We make promises trusting God's enablement. That's a faith promise. But promises are not simply one moment events. Think about all your promises. How about the promise to pay back your mortgage? Was that a single event? Or was if you won the lotto? No, no, it wasn't a single event. It was moment, it was month by month. You had to trust God's enablement. Some of us really think about it. Trust God's enablement to fulfill that commitment. God enabling month by month. When you heard about the guy who said to his wife at their wedding ceremony, "I love you," and she says, "I haven't heard that from you for the last 20 years. He said, if I changed my mind, I would have told you. You go, mm-mm. That's not how you keep a marriage vow, is it? That's not how you make, it means every day investing in your marriage, right? So some of these promises are not a one time, I made the promise. It's because I made the promise, every day I'm going to invest in fulfilling that promise. You understand this distinction there. A decision to overcome an addiction. I had a friend with alcohol addiction, and he, you know what he did? Every morning he got up, he made a decision. Every day he made a decision. Every moment he made a decision. It wasn't, oh, I decided to quit alcohol, that's it. It was a commitment depending on God's strength moment by moment. How about the student studying for the exam? I just assure you, it's not a single event to pass the exam. It's studying day by day, right? It's putting effort in preparation. It's studying day by day. The Christian life is a commitment to God. Yielding to control of the Holy Spirit day by day. The Christian life is not a once for all. You got the Spirit and you're sealed and it's no effort, right? It's just no effort. No, it's moment by moment depending on Him. What I'm saying is commitment to a promise does not mean a one-time agreement. It is not a single action. It means working on it every day. Making a promise is a decision every day to fulfill the promise. Our promises are depending on the Lord, as James reminds us, is if the Lord wills. All our promises are contingent on God's enablement, His empowerment, and His supply. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So part of Paul's letter to the Corinthian believers who made a promise, trusting God's enablement, is you guys sounded really enthusiastic when you made the promise. In fact, he used the word zeal in making their promise. They were zealous in making a promise. The passage speaks of Achaia. Corinth is located in the province of Achaia. And he said, you know what? If you don't keep your promise, there's going to be some disappointed people. Have you ever found that out? When your kids tell your kids you're going to do something, and something happens, something disrupts the plan, and you go, there's some disappointed people, right? Disappointment. When we do not fulfill our promises, it has a huge impact. We're living in a culture of failed promises and devastating consequences of failed promises. That's the world we live in. Right? When you fail to keep promises, it's not just, oh, that's just you and me. No, it's impactful on everyone around us. It's like a rippling effect when we fail to keep promises. Rhonda and I will have our 40th wedding anniversary this year. I was like, wow. Now, you think about that for a moment. If we had failed to keep that promise, how impactful would that have been? I mean, I can't even, I feel that responsibility. And what I'm saying is this, we all need accountability to fulfill our promises. Now, I know in the perfect world, when we say, I'm going to do it, we do it. But I'm also very aware, as followers of Christ, we benefit from others reminding us of our promises. Now, accountability is broken down in culture because We are in a culture of broken promises, but as in the body of Christ and the family of God, we need accountability to fulfill our promises. So that friend who had addiction to alcohol, we developed a ministry called 12 Steps to Christ. And each week, he and some buddies would meet together and hold each other accountable. We all need accountability. We need accountability of friends. Proverbs says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know what that means? That somebody cares enough about us to say, knock it off, or follow through on your promise. We need that. I don't know about you. I think all of us need accountability. I think we're living in a make-believe world if we don't think there's importance of accountability. We're in a world of culture of isolation and independence, have lost sight that we need accountability. We need accountability from our family, right? We need accountability from our spouse. Has anyone ever kept their spouse accountable? If they haven't, their marriage is in trouble. Because you need to fight for your marriage, right? You need accountability. We need accountability from a small group, maybe a group of men or women's groups or a home community group where we say, how's it going? There's something about accountability. There's accountability in family, extended family, that says, let's follow through on our promises. Let's keep our promises. We need accountability, and accountability is, we may need an accountability of a mentor. I had a mentor while I was doing my doctoral project on mentoring. He defined mentoring as a brain to pick, a shoulder to cry on, a kick in the pants. We all need a kick in the pants, along with the brain to pick and the shoulder to cry on. So what Paul is doing is he's writing to the church at Corinth and saying, I am holding you accountable. You said you're going to do something, follow through and doing it. I didn't realize that he said this several times. Now, I don't know if you call it, what do you call it? One time is a reminder, two times is, well, when does it become nagging? Have you ever been nagged? Well, he looked at what he says in 1 Corinthians 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the church of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. Paul was saying, follow through. If you don't follow through, I'm coming to visit you. I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm telling you, people are going to be disappointed if you don't keep your commitment. You need to keep your promises. Do you get the thought? God is calling us to be promise keepers. Remember that ministry, promise keepers? God has called us to be promise keepers. Why should we be promise keepers? Because we stand before God, and God has promised to us. We stand before God, and God is the one before whom we are responsible. As far as it lies within us, we should keep that promise. By God's enablement, we should keep that promise. By our statement before God, we should keep that promise. And that promise keeping is not a once for all thing. It's moment by moment saying, today, I'm going to act on my promise. I'm going to demonstrate my promise. I'm going to follow through today in demonstrating fulfilling the promise. Because we have the accountability before God. Believe it or not, this life is a promise to God. Our whole life. We give ourselves first to the Lord. This life is given to the Lord. And we've, as followers of Christ, we've promised Him to give our life to Him and to serve Him. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for this testimony of accountability for a promise made. Help us, Lord, to make wise promises. Help us to make promises based on our promise first to you. Help us to trust you, to have faith in you, and to see your provision to fulfill the promises we have made. Help us to hold one another accountable for promises made. Thank you that you are a promise-keeping God based on your faithfulness to us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.